Testing 1 2 3 1 2 3 4, and we're just gonna have to go into okay. Paul is never around when you're... Okay, are you hearing us now? Okay. Brother Abear is saying yay, so they must be hearing us. Okay. And all right, so folks, yes, okay, very good. Thank you. All right, the settings for the broadcaster were changed, and I didn't get the memo. All right. Nobody told me. All right, folks, welcome. This is the belated start of Bloodlines, September 10th, 2017. And I'm just going to make a very short, quick announcement about 9/11, because tomorrow is the commemoration of 9/11-2001. This is 16 years ago. And, of course, that was a Jewish assault on America. The whole thing was planned, operated, and carried out by Jews. Mossad, ADL, SPLC, you name all the Jewish groups here in America. They're the ones responsible for 9/11.
Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Yep, there you go.
Yep.
Yep, they were all involved in it, and they know it, but they've created this whole false scenario that it was Arabs with box cutters. Folks, that's the lamest conspiracy I ever heard. The lamest conspiracy I ever heard. Okay, well, so welcome.
The funniest thing was with the planes that were listed that crashed into the building, one of the two planes was not even the same make and model as the one that they listed. It was just a plane.
You're right. Yeah. Well,
and the one hit sideways and all the jet fuel went scattering out in the air on fire.
Right, exactly. Well, both were gigantic drones. That's what they were. There were no people in those planes.
They were radio controlled.
Exactly. And we've had all kinds of drone technology made available to the public ever since, right? Drones have become totally popular. And that's what those two planes were.
Why did Building 7 with all the gold bullion have to be detonated? It wasn't on fire. It wasn't in danger.
That's right.
All the gold bullion was gone.
Uh-huh,
it wasn't found in the wreckage.
And it also contained the legal records of a lot of anti-government court cases that the CIA and FBI wanted gone. They wanted them eliminated. So very convenient.
And the company that was given the contract to demolish Waco after the fact, well, see, all the, or not Waco, Oklahoma City,
right.
All the Waco evidence was in the basement of that building, which
right.
was not damaged, and it all disappeared.
That's right.
And the same demolition company that had the contract to finish the demolition of that building and dispose of everything got the contract for the 9/11 site.
Yeah. And
boy, isn't that interesting.
And the steel columns were severed nice and cleanly all the way up and down, just the right length to load on a tractor trailer, right?
That was a debt court job.
Yeah, there you go.
They just... And you set that up, and it goes, dong, and the beam is cut in half. It's a cutting technology. They use that debt cord or the spray that comes out like a little foam, like insulation foam,
uh-huh.
and they put that all the way around. They let it harden, and they insert the cap.
Yeah,
and
those,
it makes a clean cut.
And both of those buildings, the tall ones, were getting ready to be cited for asbestos, right, which would have cost millions of dollars to remove. So the Jews bought it, Larry Silverstein, and there was another Jew involved. His name is usually not part of the scenario. But they bought it, and they had it demolished a few days later and collected $4 billion in insurance money.
Well,
right?
they had changed insurance carriers and tripled or quadrupled the insurance on it.
Right.
So it was a win-win situation.
For the Jews.
It was a false flag. Another false flag.
Right. Absolutely.
And the incidents of the Arabic passport laying open on top of the debris with no dust on it was clean as a pin.
Right.
And they announced this guy was one of the terrorists. Yeah. And then he called in and he says, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, he was still alive.
I'm in Saudi Arabia. I've been over here for 6 months. How did you get my passport?
Right. Exactly.
What do you mean I'm one of the terrorists? I'm alive and well. I'm in Saudi Arabia. Yeah,
as were most of them.
In Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. As were most of the so-called terrorists, Arab terrorists with box cutters. They were all alive, every last one of them. So, I mean, 9/11 is a Jewish attack upon America. That's one of the many Jewish attacks upon America.
Just like the attack on the ship.
That's right. USS Liberty. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, welcome, folks. And we're going to continue our series on the ABCs of the Hebrew feast days. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. We were discussing atonement. And there's a very interesting, in the research I did on this, there's a very interesting article about it contains information about the Jerusalem and Babylonian Talmuds and how the rabbis reacted after the redemption at Calvary, okay? And so, before we even get to this, Pastor Steve, would you explain once again, it's so important that our people understand the difference between redemption and atonement, okay? Because they're two, the redemption happened at Calvary. And so they're two different feasts.
The redemption was the covering over for all time by the blood of Yeshua Messiah, because there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Well, the blood of bulls and goats was not getting the job done. Just straight up, it just was not.
No,
it was
no.
A yearly putting off of the sin of Israel. Well, Yahweh saw that his children needed to be redeemed. Therefore, he made a new covenant through Yahshua, which was Yahweh in the flesh. He took the flesh of a man and surrendered his life, laid his life down for us at Calvary, which gave us a covering over. That is what Yom Kippur is talking about, the day of covering over. It's a lid or covering. That's Kippur from Kippurim, the day of covering over. And that's what the blood sacrifice of Yeshua was.
Okay, and the last sacrifice. Paul was very clear in telling us that that was the last blood sacrifice.
Okay? That's correct. And what was the other?
Well, the atonement. The atonement goes on.
Yeah, atonement. Well, atonement, they've translated that atonement. It doesn't say atonement in the Hebrew.
Okay.
It's Yom Kippur. That's the day, of covering over.
Okay.
Kippur, to cover over. From kippur, to cover. That's the verb, kippur, and it's Yom Kippur, the day of the covering. And it would cover for 1 year, year to year, the sins. The priests had to sacrifice first to cleanse themselves, and then they were holy enough to do the yearly sacrifice for the sins of Israel. Well, that's completed because the sins of Israel were covered at Calvary for the Israelites right then with provision. I was looking for the word. I haven't had all my coffee yet.
Right.
A provision that the future Israelites, which are the current crop.
Right. Caucasian Israel.
Okay,
right. Caucasian
will, in the future, be able to come under that covenant willingly. It has to be a willing, complete dedication to that covenant and the obeying of the rules of that covenant. And see, that's what the Judeo-Christians leave out. You have to obey the rules of the covenant, because that would run people off. Oh, there's rules? Right. I got to do rules? Oh. Right, right.
So,
So you got to do rules.
Yes. So the Passover was covered our sins without us having to do anything. Yahshua did that for us. Okay.
Right.
But
it had the proviso. Even at that time, if you had a blanket redemption right there.
Right.
But if you continued on in your apostasy, you brought yourself back out of that covenant, back under the penalties of the Torah.
Yes. Nice.
And the law that was done away with was the law of the Pharisees, the man-made laws.
Right.
Yahshua said, until the heaven and the earth pass away, not one jot or tittle of the Torah will fail.
Amen.
And
Amen.
He fulfilled
it has not yet
the
failed.
Animal sacrifice provision, but the rest of the law stands. You don't eat all the nasty stuff. You don't fornicate. You don't do adultery. You don't do murder. All that stuff still stands. And the Judeans want to do away with all of that, saying it's nailed to the cross because of the restrictions that it puts on the lifestyles of their congregations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't want the rules. Well, the Day of Atonement fulfilled the need for blood sacrifice, and we celebrate that as a Christian holiday now because the atonement, or covering over more properly,
yes,
was accomplished at Calvary. He covered over our sins with his blood. Now we celebrate that, and we fast in honor of that.
Right.
And we read the law and try to, best of all our abilities, to obey that law. Because all Yahshua taught was Torah. He didn't have anything else. He didn't teach any man-made doctrine, no altar calls.
He didn't change any of the laws. He fulfilled prophecy.
He fulfilled the animal sacrifice portion, thus rendering unnecessary the Levitical priesthood to do the sacrifices.
Right.
And they were so infiltrated with Edomites, there were no Levitical priests. They were all Edomite priests.
Yes.
He says, I will put it under the order of Melchizedek, which is priesthood by an oath.
Yes. Now, it's interesting you bring up Edomite priests. We'll get to that in a moment. But I just want to quote Romans 12:1, because this is Paul's instruction to us concerning these things. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So now it is incumbent upon us to present ourselves as living sacrifices without that crutch of animal sacrifices to fall back onto. And this prepares us for the fulfillment of the Day of Atonement, which is a day of fasting, and because we have to prepare ourselves for the Feast of Tabernacles, because we may be going hungry, involuntarily going hungry during this time when these fall feasts are fulfilled. Okay? So the Day of Atonement, which is a fast day, not a feast day, a fast day, we prepare ourselves by fasting on this day, because we may be without food for a long period of time, so we have to prepare ourselves. Okay, this is all about preparing for the fulfillment of the fall feast days. Okay,
I have all my backup hanging off the front here.
oh, that reminds me.
I can hibernate for a while.
That reminds me.
Yahweh's diet plan.
Right. You did a show, or your show, on preparing for going out in the wilderness.
I'm on my wake-up call. Now, we had problems, and it didn't play on Thursday, but it did play the replay yesterday.
Yes.
Now that Paul English has everything fixed, pretty much, except the show schedule, and that's going to take some time. That it requires more
right.
manipulation. Now, he rebuilt a whole new server for us, folks.
Yes, a lot of work. And I didn't get the memo. I didn't get the memo on the new code. That's why the show got started late.
I had to give him the secret
right.
handshake on the Skype there.
There you go, right? So, and here's the deal. You talked about boots or shoes to go out in the wilderness as a Vietnam
yeah.
veteran.
Let me finish my promo here.
Oh, okay.
I will be doing for the rest of the month on Wake Up Call, I did Prepper List Part 1. And it played on Saturday. This coming week, I will do Part 2. I'm giving a complete list of everything that everybody needs and how to carry it. I'm going to do the whole thing. Well, I'm going to have a seminar at Feast of Tabernacles that I'm going to here in Kentucky, and I'm going to bring my go pack and show everybody exactly what they're going to need, mm-hmm. plus or minus. Not everybody's going to be able to carry everything, but I'm carrying extra stuff for people that are blowing in the breeze that come out or they lose their stash stuff and they don't have any medical supplies and they're hurt. Well, I'm bringing extra. I have extra medical supplies, and Marilyn is a registered trauma nurse.
Okay.
And I'm a trained EMT advanced. I was on a life squad for years, and I can do trauma and disinfect and remove, you know, have forceps and take pieces of metal out of people and deliver babies and do all of that.
Really?
But, Oh yeah.
Okay.
We got a trained crew.
we're here. Prepared. We're real preppers.
And those that come will get a little seminar by Marilyn. She's going to teach you some natural herbs that you can find out in the woods for medicinal use, and I'm going to show do a demonstration on a few things.
Okay.
And
I hear hemp is good for just about everything.
Well, there's lots of that in Kentucky.
Yeah, all right, I'll bet. I'll bet.
In Tennessee.
Okay.
Sitting on a sack of seeds.
Right.
So we're going to have a comprehensive mini training session. It's not going to take all day.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty quick, and I'm going to have printouts of all this stuff that you need. I'm going to do a printout as soon as I get my printer working again.
Yeah.
And I'll pass those out.
Yeah.
And
put this up.
I also have made Psalm 91 into like a little wall plaque, and it's laminated, and I will be giving those out.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay.
So about the boots, old veteran.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. When we were issued boots in Vietnam, they were breathable. You know, the bottom of the boot was leather or, you know, sometimes rubber, but they were high ankle boots, and above the ankle it was breathable. And they issued us wool socks because the wool socks, they evaporate from the skin outward. They don't retain the water. So very important to have the right type of socks. But before you, and you advised on your show, two pairs of boots or shoes. Right,
absolutely.
Whatever. Right.
If you wear the same pair, they'll rot off your feet.
Right.
And they'll rot your feet along with them.
But very important.
Wear a pair one day, hang them on the back of your pack the next day, and put the other pair on. Change socks. If it's hot weather, change your socks twice a day.
Yeah, you don't want to get, foot rot.
Foot rot.
Yeah,
no,
athlete's
sir,
foot.
You do
athlete's
not.
Foot. Yeah, you do not want to get that. That's miserable, folks. Absolutely miserable. But the important thing for people, and before you even go out, break those boots in. Make sure they fit well, okay? And if you buy them new and go out and find out they don't fit well, and they're bruising your feet, and you're getting bunions and all this kind of stuff, That's not good. So break those boots in well before you go out into the woods. Okay. Very, very important. All right. So break them in. All right.
New boots will wreck your feet. If you're not set, they have to stretch.
Right.
And fit themselves. Walk around the house in them. If you're going to walk to the store in them.
Kick some jubot.
You can take that short period of discomfort rather than find it out later on.
You do not
when your feet are blistered and bleeding. Because if your feet go down, you go down.
That's right. That's right.
And a unit, which would be the people that you are with, can only move the fastest pace it can move is the pace of the slowest in the unit.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so wanted to point that out, that's very important. Break those boots in. Buy them today, folks. Buy them now and break them in and make sure they're ready. Because Yahshua says, be prepared to head out. We're going to have to head out of the cities just as Lot, what happened right after Lot. We're going to be quoting that passage from the book of Luke. But first, let's go. I want to discuss the fact that the animal sacrifices have been done away with once and for all at Calvary, and even the Jews know it, okay? So from this website entitled JesusPlusNothing.com, studies of the Day of Atonement, in a section entitled The Final Scapegoat and Sacrifice, the author says this: "It is really interesting reading about the scarlet thread that they would tie onto the scapegoat and the temple. In the Jewish writings, in the lead-up to the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 AD, the Jerusalem Talmud says the following, quote, 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the western light went out. The crimson thread remained crimson, and the lot for Yahweh always came up on the left hand." And in other words, it was not going the way it's supposed to. The crimson thread was supposed to turn white, and it never did. It stayed crimson. "They would close the gates of the temple by night and get up in the morning and find them wide open. The gates would not stay closed." Okay? So this is telling us that Yahweh's, his son, he fulfilled these sacrifices, and we're not to perform these sacrifices ever again. Here, these Jews, these rabbis, are finding out the hard way that this is Yahweh's intention, and they're admitting this in their Jerusalem Talmud. Now, from the Babylonian Talmud, quote, "Our rabbis taught during the last 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the lot for the Lord did not come up in the right hand, nor did the crimson-colored strap become white, nor did the westernmost light shine, and the doors of the temple would open by themselves." So here are the Jews admitting, the rabbis are admitting to us that for 40 years before the destruction of the temple, their daily rituals failed to materialize. And the exact opposite of what they were expecting happened. Why? Why? Because Yahweh's son Yahshua had fulfilled the ritual sacrifices, and now we are the temple. We true Christian Israelites are the temple, and there's no more need for any stinking temple. Your comment, Pastor
Steve. There you go.
Okay.
Well, see, they kept on doing what they were doing, rebelling against Yahweh and his rules and his signs and his sacrifice, just as their original father rebelled in heaven and was cast out.
All right.
They don't worship Yahweh. They don't care about Yahweh's laws. They know Yahweh. They know the name. They know the laws. Well, so did their father, the devil. He knew Yahweh. He knew Yahweh's laws, and he rebelled against them. They're following suit to their father. And Yahshua had told them, "You are of your father, the devil, and your father's works you seek to do." Well, how much plainer is that? But the Judeo-Christians won't recognize that.
Yeah, yeah.
They won't teach that because you're making too much doggone money.
Right.
Follow the money.
Yeah. At least the big churches are. The little churches are all closing.
Well, the little churches are dying out.
That's right.
They've been teaching error for so long, people have lost faith in them and they quit going.
Error or air?
You know,
airheads.
In other words, a lot of people are saying, I just don't want to go and listen to that hypocrite.
Yeah, I'm tired of
all his crap.
That's right. Exactly.
And that's what he's talking. Oh, we're all kumbaya. We're all brothers. It's okay. We welcome the transgenders and the queers and the race mixers. Oh, we're a kumbaya. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. The road to hell is littered with Judeo-Christian corpses.
And they're having to sit in a pew next to some stinking Katsumonda,
right.
whatever's sitting in there from Katsumonda right. land. That puts perfume on instead of bathing.
Right.
They have to sit in a pew with that.
Right.
And on the other side is some man dressed up like a woman.
Right? Yeah, it doesn't know whether to keep his hat on or off.
and she turns her head and says,
"Yeah,
I just love his sermons, don't you?
Which bathroom do I use?
My name's Christine.
Right.
Oh, please.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Every perversion under the sun is now accepted by today's Judeo churches.
And Nibblehorse puts in there, Houston, we has a problem.
Right. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, they failed to vote for Trump. That's what the liberals are saying about Texas. See, that's what you get for voting for Trump, Texas, right? Karma. They're calling it karma. But the author of this piece, who just quoted these states, this is highly significant. It means that Jesus, as the Lamb of God, was the last and final sacrifice.
Amen. He got it right.
Sometimes Judeo-Christians get it right. God was not going to accept any other sacrifice after this. And all God would now do is warn the Israelites, of course these weren't Israelites, these were Edomites, warn these Edomite rabbis of the coming judgment. The Western light would go out at night despite all their efforts for it to be lit perpetually. The temple doors would open by themselves miraculously, and these doors were 75 feet high and required up to 25 men to open one door. Boy, I'm glad I never had to hang that kind of a door. Jesus' sacrifice was once and for all. No other will be accepted. He then quotes Hebrews 9, 25 and 26. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again. The way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own, then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. Listen carefully, Roman Catholics. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Could it be any clearer that the Bible says no more animal sacrifice, no more blood rituals?
Well, it says all through the Bible, obedience is better than the blood of bulls and goats. And it says the blood of bulls and goats are not sufficient for the remission of sin. They're just not getting it done. So Yahweh so loved his order of arrangement, not the world, his order of arrangement, kind after kind, all the stuff he established in Genesis, the natural order of his things, man and woman procreating children, not men and men, not women and women, not any other species except the Adamic species. We are not to mate with the others of non-Adamic bloodline. That's his order of arrangement. And he so loved his order of arrangement. If you look up the word that they use for world, it's order of arrangement that he gave his only begotten son. In other words, he made a woman pregnant by the Holy Spirit, his will, and he assumed flesh in part and taught and sacrificed his life. They couldn't kill Yeshua. He had to dismiss his spirit. If you read in the Greek, it says he dismissed his spirit. They couldn't kill him. He could have called down legions of angels.
Yeah,
and he said that. But he let himself go and let that body suffer death after copious torture. What they did to him was just unbelievable.
Yes.
No mortal man could have stood that. But he took that for us. And that ties to Luke.
Yes, yes, it sure does. Okay, let's go there. Luke 17, I'm going to back up to 17, verse 22. And actually, 21, because it amplifies what we were just saying about the kingdom being within us. Verse 21, yeah. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That's why we don't need no stinking temple, folks.
And the temple right? of your body.
Yes, that's our bodies. And he said unto the disciples, okay, not unto the gathered multitude of Mongols and Jews and Edomites, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And in other words, we will be wanting for this world to end. We will be wanting for the second coming to happen.
The Son of Adam.
The Son of Adam, right? That's the Son right. of Adam. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. In other words, it's going to be lightning quick. All right?
Yep.
And the whole world.
Son of Adam again.
Yes, yes, sorry.
they mistranslated yeah. that.
Right. So don't worry. Don't, you know, but obviously have to be ready and prepared. But when he comes, it's going to, yeah, I come as a thief in the night. He's telling us when he comes, it will be quick. So what's our responsibility? Our responsibility is to be ready. And the Day of Atonement is when we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice unto Yahweh, because otherwise That's we right. won't be ready. We have to,
and that prefaces the Feast of Tabernacles.
That's right. That's right.
Which is coming up right yeah. after, and that is yeah. when it is foretold that he will come.
So as we said
and
earlier,
he's not going to give a notice on the internet. No, hey, no. I'm going to be here on October right. 4th.
Right.
I'm coming on the 4th, y'all.
Right. Yeah, but as we have been saying, one of these years, the fall feasts will be fulfilled just as the spring feasts were fulfilled at the first advent. The fall feast will be fulfilled at the second advent. Okay. We in Identity have been teaching this for decades, and I see that many more people in Judeo-Christendom have been picking up this theme, especially in their arguments against the rapture. Okay. Because the rapture right. and the coming of the second coming are the exact same thing, okay? All right, and not before. That is the day of judgment, and those who have been judged worthy will be, you know, in the kingdom, and those who are judged unworthy will not be in the kingdom. That's how it works, okay?
That grace period is going to end then.
Yes, that's the
and
end.
And then it's judgment time.
Yeah.
And who is going to be the judge? Not Yahweh in his totality, but Yahshua, who is his manifestation in this plane of existence, because Yahweh right. could not be here in his totality. Right. It would destroy us.
But he will return in his glory body. He gave up his physical
That's
body.
Correct.
Right?
And he is changed, and we will be changed.
Right. We will get our glory bodies as well.
Yeah, okay. do verse 25. Yes. Then I have something to say about
okay. Very good.
Verse 26.
Okay, but first must he suffer many things. He said, I've got to go through this passion and be rejected of this generation. And that means even the Judahites and the Israelites would reject him because they were influenced by the Pharisees, just as today's Judeo-Christians are being influenced by the Pharisees, right? To believe in false doctrine, namely that the third temple must be built. Okay, you want to talk about 26? Go ahead, read 26 and... you know, why don't you pick it up from here?
As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the son of Adam. Okay, what did the Rephaim, the Nephilim, do? They were doing genetic experimentations. They were modifying species. They were perverting all of creation.
Yes.
They were perverting sexual practices. How much more do I need to list, folks,
right?
Folks, as to what's going on today with genetically modified food, genetically modified organism, Dolly the sheep, clones, cross-piecing swines, stuff into men.
Right.
Oh, but this will work in a human being. We can transplant a swine liver.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much more? I mean,
test tube babies.
Evidently, you know, I've done the ton of bricks thing in a bunch of sermons. It evidently does take a ton of bricks to fall on some of these people's heads, Eli.
Before they figure it out.
Because they are willingly blind. They just don't want to hear it.
Stiff-necked Israelites.
They don't want to hear the truth because they would have to change their lifestyle.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and
they don't want to keep the ordained commanded feasts.
Right.
They want to keep Christmas and Ishtar. They don't celebrate Passover. They celebrate Ishtar.
That's right.
Sunday for the goddess of fertility rather than Passover, celebrating the final sacrifice for the remission of sins.
And if the Roman Catholic Church doesn't celebrate race mixing, I don't know what, and multiculturalism, I don't know what they celebrate.
And homosexuality,
that's
they
right.
just move these
pedophilia.
Priests around to molest more little boys.
Right, yeah, the Catholic Church is totally debauched, utterly debauched.
Oh, man.
Get out of the Catholic Church. If you're hearing the...
Well, the Protestant churches are following in suit, following the rules and the system of Catholicism. They're not Protestant anymore. They are daughters of Rome.
Daughters of Rome. Yes, they are.
They have become, they are following the Holy Roman Church. Okay.
Yes.
Well, it's not holy, and it may very well be Roman, but it's roaming all over the place is what it's doing.
That's right.
And the Pope has said that Satan is God.
Right.
He said
and that homosexuality is good.
No, he didn't say that. Look at speeches up.
Just like Albert Pike. We worship Lucifer, right?
The Catholics are ingrained in that man-made doctrine.
That's right. Just like Judaism. There's hardly any difference between Roman Catholicism.
Says you were teaching as doctrine the commandments of man. Well,
right.
Pray to Mother Mary, a statue, and it's not Mother Mary, it's the Queen of Heaven.
Right. Right. In disguise.
And Tammuz, the sun god, in her arms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Pouring out drinks to the Queen of Heaven. Well, that's what they're doing. Hot cross buns. Those are for the Queen of Heaven.
That's right.
All that Easter stuff with the bunnies.
Right.
And the eggs. Fertility symbols, all.
That's exactly. Let's not even go into Christmas.
That's fertility worship.
Right.
And back in the old days, they'd wind around a tree with all those ribbons, and then everybody would strip off and have at it.
Right.
It was a big orgy.
Yeah. And
but
it's interesting.
Nobody wants to read anything. It's too much like work. I'll rather sit at a computer and be fed a bunch of crap.
Yes. I'll bet one of those hybridizing fallen angels back in the days of Noah was named Monsatan. They just changed their name to Monsanto, right? The Jewish slave-owning family that's guilty of all of this hybridized food that we're eating, which is poisoning us and killing us, folks.
Well, what's the thing about genetically modified grain? Well, as a former farmer, I will tell you. When natural grain is planted, natural seeds, It takes longer to harvest it because it is maturing more slowly and absorbing
more nutrients.
Pardon me, nutrients into the ears of corn or whatever, or beans. It takes longer because the nutrients are going into the future food.
Right.
With genetically modified organisms, it sprouts quicker, it grows quicker, it has great big ears of corn with virtually no nutrition whatsoever, and the genetically modified DNA in that plant is transferable to our bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, causing
and
allergies.
They get two crops a year instead of one, and the grain is worthless.
Right.
You get no nutrition from it.
Gets calories, empty
calories.
They've
got orange trees now that'll produce 3 and 4 crops, and they have virtually no vitamin C in them.
Right. Right.
Vitamin C-less oranges.
Yeah. So away from nature.
And they don't tell you this. They don't tell you this.
Exactly. Exactly. Otherwise, you wouldn't buy that stuff. Right. You wouldn't buy these genetically modified foods if you were aware of how bad they really are. Okay. But please continue through the rest of Luke here. This is very interesting stuff, folks. It applies to these fall feasts, how we're to prepare ourselves. Okay. Please.
Verse 27 of Luke 17. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark.
Everything seems normal, right?
Yeah. Just keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
And the deluge came. It's not flood. It should be deluge.
Right.
Came and destroyed them all.
Yep.
All in the area that he was living in the Tarim Basin. And that's where the center of science was for the Nephilim.
Yes.
And
yes.
The atoms that went along with them. Well, we have the children of the Nephilim today, and the seed of Adam is going along with them, thinking they are God's chosen people. Well, they're not. They are seed line of the serpent. They are the serpent race, but they look similar to us and are very deceptive, and our people are now easily deceived by them. Verse 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all.
Okay, so He left, and no sooner had he left was Sodom destroyed. Okay?
Yep.
This is all telling us.
They were waiting for him to get far enough.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke 17:30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Adam is revealed.
So the destruction.
His protected ones will be protected. And I keep telling people to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. It tells what happens when he arrives. It's not going to be a bake sale. There'll be a lot of right. cooking going on, but it won't be cookies.
Yeah,
it'll be tares.
You better save your cookies and get out of Dodge before the rain comes, right? The rain of fire and brimstone. Before, take it to the end because we'll
right.
talk about
verse 31. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, because they had flat roofs, and people spent a lot of time up on the roof, worshiping their pagan idols.
Right.
And his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Just drop everything and
drop
run.
Get out of Dodge. Right? Be prepared to get
verse
out of 32, Dodge.
32, remember Lot's wife. Don't turn back to look at the world that you're leaving, or you'll be like her.
That's right.
Verse 33, whoever shall seek to save his life, in other words, his life in this world with all its stuff, shall lose it. and whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Get out of the world. Come out from the world and be you separate, and you will preserve your eternal life, not the life here.
Right. Which do you value more? That's what the
vanity.
Question.
Eternity is a long time, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 34, I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. One will wake up at the calling of an angel. Now get out of here.
Yeah, get out.
Sir, I'm gone. Feet don't fail me now. Two shall be grinding together. Now that is grinding grain.
Yes.
The one shall be taken and the other left. Two shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Verse 37. This is the last verse. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, will the eagles be gathered together.
Now, what are these eagles? Ahetos, an eagle. Now, are these
Yes. Okay. The same as an eagle from its wind-like flight.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
okay.
That would be the angels.
Okay. So, if you want to join the angels, you know, because when he returns, he's going to come with his angels. And with the ones who have slept, there will be all will be resurrected. One group unto eternal life, the other group unto eternal damnation. So, which is it going to be?
All right. Now, these angels that are coming back with him, they're not warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely little cherubs. They're going to be Sodom and Gomorrah type killer angels.
Right, exactly. That's
because
why
they're
he
coming
mentioned
back
it.
In flaming fire.
Right.
Flaming fire, as in burning tares. Okay.
Yeah.
Flaming fire, and you're one of his, and they're going to destroy all those that don't know Elohim. That means the divine being. Those that give lip service and don't really follow and don't believe in his laws and do all of that, they're doomed.
They're doomed, yeah.
And we keep telling them, trying to get them out from among this apostasy. Stop worshiping on Ishtar Sunday. Stop Christmas with Satan claws and all this other.
Right.
Bowing down to the tree of Tammuz to get your present. You're bowing
worldliness.
To the tree. Read the book of Jeremiah. It tells you about the Christmas tree.
Right, yeah.
Stop that stuff.
Yeah,
keep the real feast and the fast of atonement.
Okay.
And live your life according to the rules that Yahweh has given us how to deal with people.
Yes.
It doesn't do you a bit of good to go to church on Sunday and then go back out in the world
and expect to be raptured
in your business practices.
That's right.
So you learn your business practice from the Jew and then you emulate them. Emulate Christ instead.
Yes.
That's what it takes to get into the kingdom. It takes action on your part.
That's how to be prepared. So the point of these verses is death and destruction will be coming quickly in the twinkling of an eye. That's how quickly this is going to all happen, folks. So when that day comes, you had better be ready. Now, if you're sitting around waiting to be raptured, doing nothing to prepare yourself for this day of judgment, what is the likelihood that you will be ready? Zero. All those who believe in the rapture and that they can be raptured and not have to experience the tribulation, they're wrong. They've been lied to. That is another Judeo-Christian lie. So you have to prepare yourself mentally, physically, spiritually, even monetarily, because paper money ain't going to be worth squat when this day comes. It won't be worth squat. And the Lord says that people will be throwing their money into the streets because it won't buy anything. That's how serious it's going to be.
Absolutely worthless. We have a question in the Chatango chat, okay. Eli.
All right.
And the fellow Caucasian 78 says, does EFR Skype accept all requests? I don't know the process on that.
What kind of requests are you talking about?
I mean,
about?
A contact request for the EFR studio audience? Is that what you're asking?
Or is it, we've been having, I'm not sure what you mean by request. Okay, so please clarify.
Probably a contact request to get in on.
Yes,
contact request is what he put in there.
Yeah.
For the studio audience, Skype, you have to have a
Skype account.
A Skype account.
Yeah, to go there. Okay.
You have to have a registered Skype account, and then you can put in a contact request, and they'll accept it.
Right. Okay. All right. So let's continue. We're seeing here that. In your shows on getting ready, and Yahshua and also in Matthew chapter 24 warns us that, get out of Dodge. When you see the signs of the coming judgment, get out of Dodge. You're better off being out of Dodge before the judgment, but at least if you can be like Lot and anticipate it and get out of Dodge just in time, right? It might be more exciting for you, but it might be more harrowing also.
Well, a lot of us are going to be leaving Dodge.
Yes.
As the tribulation itself hits, not just the day of judgment when he returns.
Right.
The cities won't be livable, the big cities at least.
Yeah.
It'll be complete anarchy. If you think it's bad now,
yeah,
it's going to be 100 times worse. They're going to, when all the money system breaks down, that's going to be the major sign, because the thugs won't be getting paid.
Right, that's right.
And they're not going to put themselves at risk for no pay.
Yeah, the beasts of the field are taking over all the big cities. You can just take a look. Detroit, Baltimore.
The thugs are going to have their guns that they've been issued. And they're going to go home and protect their family and their stuff.
Yes.
And they're going to leave the streets open to absolute madness.
It'll be like the Night of the Living Dead. There's going to be cannibalism, folks. You want to get out of Dodge.
It'll be Charlottesville times 10.
That's right.
The
times
10th
100.
Hour.
Times 1,000. All right? That's how it's going to be. So you do not want to be associating with beasts of the field. You do not want to be associating with Democrats. You do not want to associate with Republicans. All of these earthly people and Judeo-Christians, because they are more earthly, earthbound than they realize. Okay?
Well, they're going to be given the order to attack Christian identity.
Yeah.
Their masters truly hate us, and they're going to be fed the malarkey that we are terrorists and demons and Nazis all these names that they want to apply.
Yes.
Name calling gig. It reminds me of a schoolyard playground.
It's the interdict.
You're a dweeb. I'm not. You're a dweeb. Ah, look at dweeb. You're a dweeb.
You got the cooties.
That kind of childish.
Right, exactly. It's that childishness is playing out in Black Lives Matter and Antifa. That's how childish,
they're
these people are.
They're calling us all these names.
Yep.
Little kitty names. And the people are stupid enough,
to
go along with it. They play, they're deceived and duped.
Yeah.
And they'll go right along with this little name-calling.
Yeah. But it's
program.
It's all part of the interdict or the excommunication process.
Oh, Nimblehorse says Talmudified.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you right? got it, buddy.
Amen, amen. And the interdict, it's the mark of the beast. You will not be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. And they have taken us off of PayPal. They have closed our PayPal account, as they have done many other groups who are not playing the Talmudic game, right? Who are seeing the Goyim know. Right. All those groups that chant the Goyim know, right, are being interdicted. The mark of the
Brother
beast.
Brother Hebert puts when that tiny electronic chip connects everything by 2020, that will be the game changer. Mystery Babylon, fully integrated and connected to everything.
Right.
Amen, brother.
So
amen.
So you need to be out in the woods, being able to
track your own, this tree.
Right? Right? So that's why these fall feasts are so important, because they're to prepare us for the coming day of judgment. That's now, what it's
just,
all about.
I just thought of something. See, okay. If they have these electronic chips, they may go out in the woods and put in wood chips.
Right. So you do not. And of course, people are taking voluntarily these microchips, these RFID implants, are taking them voluntarily. How stupid can you be?
Having their kids.
Right. And their dogs, their pets microchipped.
Yeah.
Right. So what happens when they wipe out your bank account electronically? What good is your microchip then? It's worthless. But they will track you with it, right?
And they will track you with it. Your bank account.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
That's only electronic bits in a computer when they eliminate cash, and they're working on that. Yes. And they can just say, unavailable.
Yeah.
Just type in a little thing and unavailable, account closed.
That happened to people in Greece already. The banks simply took the money out of their accounts without them even knowing it. That's what's going to happen here. You know, these Jews will stop at nothing to afflict us.
Another question from Brother Hebert. When the fit hits the sham,
right?
Will y'all eat unclean animals?
Can you eat hemp? Can you eat hemp?
Eat hemp. Oh. Hemp burgers.
Right.
You have to learn how to survive. I think Yahweh will
provide. Yeah, I believe
Yahweh
so.
Yahweh will provide. And there are enough streams around in with fish.
Yeah, right. And there's books on which plants are edible. You know, which plants on the woods are edible.
We've got all of those.
Yes.
Our team has all of that.
Right.
And that's part of what Marilyn is going to do in the seminar.
Yeah. Okay.
What we can use.
Yeah.
And it'll be like poke salad Annie.
Right.
Gator got your granny. Chomp, hey. Chomp, chomp.
Dandelion salad.
That's right.
Dandelions are very good. They have a lot of nutrition.
Marshmallows.
Marshmallows?
S'mores?
Girl Scouts?
The natural plants that grow in the marsh.
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. When I hear marshmallows, I see those spongy things that are but
cat
sugar.
Cattails.
Oh, okay.
Cattails are called marshmallows in the old days.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And, all right. Hemp, purslane, wild lettuce, watercress, cattails.
Yes.
All
okay.
over the place. Dandelion greens are good. Good for you. Why am I thus put out in there?
Mm-hmm.
You can fry cattails.
Really?
And cook them and eat them.
And
they're
green
very
tomatoes.
they're very nutritious.
Right. And you can fry green tomatoes too, right?
Oh, absolutely. That does tomatoes. And you just go along, you save seeds, and you plant little gardens here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go harvest stuff if you keep the deer and the raccoons out of them.
Right. Yeah, I hear that you spread cayenne pepper around your plants. That keeps a lot of the critters away from them.
So, cattail soup.
Uh-huh, okay.
See, she's country. Why am I thus a country girl? She knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Ted Nugent did a song about that. Cat scratch fever, da-da-da. No, sorry, wrong venue. Okay. The reason why we're...
Fat soup. Oh, no.
We may even be having fun during the tribulation, right?
Holy soup.
Holy soup, right. So the reason why we're doing this extended study of atonement leading into the Feast of Tabernacles is, number one, it's all about preparation. We have to prepare ourselves, our bodies, our minds, our spirits, etc. Because when the Feast of when Yahshua comes to tabernacle with us, it's not going to be a picnic. It's going to be part of the tribulation. It's going to be rough. It's going to be very rough. So you have to prepare yourselves. That's why these fall feasts are all about preparation. First, the Feast of Trumpets.
And that's why I've been telling people all of this stuff is available right now.
Yes.
Pretty soon it will no longer be available.
Yeah. Walmart's going to go bankrupt.
Get it while the getting's good. Well, you don't get most of it at Walmart. You get it at Army Surplus stores. Yeah. They're going to clamp down on them.
Maybe we should start looting at the next hurricane.
You better prepare because later on, you're not going to be able to prepare. You're not going to be able to get all this stuff that you can get now.
Well, what's that parable of the wise and foolish virgins?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Get your lamp oil while the lamp oil store is still open.
While it's still in the stores, right?
Yep.
There's so many hints in Scripture that we must prepare ourselves for this judgment day. It ain't funny. Yet the vast majority of Judeo-Christians are utterly ignoring these warnings.
Well, I told them on my show, you have to get rid of your naivete.
That's right.
It's going to be unlike anything. It's not going to be like a Hollywood
movie. I've got some of that on my shelf.
you're going to be in harsh reality.
Oh man, it's
and
harsh.
You're going to have to know what to do if a group of these armed thugs comes at you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't call the police. There's not going to be anybody to help you. You're going to have to help yourself.
Right.
You may have to pull a trigger on somebody.
Yeah, you may have to. Right. So on the Day of Atonement,
how many people are out there that can actually do that? You were over in Nam. How many tours did you do?
Just one. Just 1 year.
Just one. How many guys did you see freeze when a firefight started?
We were out in such dense jungle. Well, yeah, several. Yeah, several. They didn't know what to do, right? But in our case, it's because the dense jungle was so thick, you could barely see the enemy. You could see the flash of the muzzle, but they were always behind trees and stuff, you know, or behind dikes. So you rarely saw the enemy. And
dikes?
Bull dikes? Right?
Oh, my.
I should not have set you up. But yeah, it's all about preparation and physical, mental, spiritual, any kind of preparation you can think of. Be prepared to get out of Dodge. And that's the point of these fall feasts. You know, it starts with the blast of the shofar, which I believe is going to be earthquakes. And there's all kinds of blasts. They sound like horns blowing before a big earthquake strikes. People hear these horns blowing, right? And so it's going to start with the Feast of Trumpets. Then when you hear that Feast of Trumpets shofar blast, prepare to fast. That's what it means when it says you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. Leviticus 16:30-31 means you must fast because you may be enduring long periods of hunger. Be prepared to endure that, okay? Regarding the Feast of Atonement, this is the only day on which we are commanded to fast. The fasting represents our letting go of our own sins and of all connection with this evil world. Although our stomachs may grumble for want of food, representing our attachment to this world, we are to fast in cognizance of our spiritual being and ultimate redemption. This is something we must do voluntarily. Okay? The redemption at Calvary was done for us without our consent. And in most cases, not even our knowledge. But I was done for us. This is Yahweh's grace, with undeserved grace. But this time, we must do it ourselves by cleansing our own souls, okay? Unlike the unconditional forgiveness granted at Passover, the cleansing on the Day of Atonement requires our conscious participation with the people praying and fasting for themselves and for the nation to release us from the bondage of this world. This is what it's all about. Okay? This world to end.
Yom Kippur is a day of prayer.
All right.
You are to dedicate the entire day
to
Yahweh.
All right.
You are not. You're not to wash your dishes. You're not to sweep the floors. You're not going to work on your car. You don't do anything but fast and pray on Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Total dedication. Everything stops.
Yes. Okay. According to our calendar, Yom Kippur is September 27th. The evening of
sundown of the 26th to sundown of the 27th.
So that's coming right up, folks. That's a little more than 2 weeks away. And so
yes,
be prepared
and the
to
feast
fast.
Of Trumpets is sundown of the 17th to sundown of the 18th.
Mm-hmm. That's the beginning. It's a week-long fast, or feast, rather. Okay.
That's a Feast of Trumpets just on that day. And I will be annoying all my neighbors.
Okay.
And
yeah. And then we'll go into.
I have just received a pleasant surprise. The counselor for this building, which is to help the old people with any problems that they've got, is a young white man who is Christian identity,
and he knows of
me. And he listens to EFR, and I just gave him a copy of the Torah,
fantastic,
which he was very grateful for, and he's going to take it to his little group, and they're going to use it to study.
Amen.
Right. Bada bing, bada boom. Right. Funny how that happens.
Right.
It?
Yeah, and also we talked about, I think on Friday, the fact that Andrew Anglin, for the first time, didn't declare himself to be a Christian, but he's talking Christian talk, and all of these websites that are pro-white, you see the vast majority of the commentators are in approval of Christian identity and Christian identity teaching. So it shows that our teachings are getting around, you know, that they are getting around, and people are beginning to understand what we're teaching, that we're not trying to be Jews. We're not Jews, we're Israelites, and there's a huge difference between the two, okay?
Well, they do the opposite of what's in the Torah.
That's
They're
right.
anti-Torah.
Yes. Okay. So by being the 10th day of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement mimics the 10th day of the 1st month, on which the people selected their sacrificial lambs for Passover. So we are to select ourselves a living sacrifice for Yahweh. On the Day of Atonement, we select ourselves and sacrifice our old self for the ritual cleansing. This is the soul-searching of repentance in preparation for the Judgment Day, which is symbolized by the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, so here we go with Tabernacles. Say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the 7th month, Yahweh's Feast of Tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days, Leviticus 23:34. Celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your wine press, Deuteronomy 16:13. What does that mean? Be prepared. Get it together.
Yep.
Okay?
Sure.
All right. So, with about 14 minutes left, Numbers 29 represents the greatest detail with respect to this feast, with each day requiring different sacrifices. Given the complexity of all these sacrifices, the Old Testament Feast of Tabernacles required great, even meticulous preparation. With respect to prophecy, the Feast of Tabernacles represents the 7 days of tribulation, which occur just before the second coming, the 8th day, Numbers 29:35. Those of us who see this day coming are well advised to make meticulous preparations for the collapse of civilization as we know it. Fair enough, Pastor Steve.
Eighth great day.
Yes, the last
that will
great...
be the 10th of October.
Mm-hmm.
Sundown of the 9th.
Yes.
Unto sundown of the 10th of October. That's the last great day, and that is a high Sabbath. You are
That's
not
a high
to work
Sabbath.
On that day.
Right, right. And so, if the fall feast days are fulfilled literally as the spring feast days were at the first Advent, then we anticipate that Yahshua will return on the last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles in a particular year. Okay?
We don't know when that is.
We don't know which year. and we deign to prophesy, right? Because
you get hoof and mouth disease when you right? try to be a prophet. The prophets have come and gone. We read their works.
Yes. Yeah.
And teach them, but we're not prophesying.
Yeah, yes. Yahshua says, no one knows the day and the hour, but it doesn't say anything about weeks and years or months, right? So these fall feasts and these Hebrew feast days in general are to be adhered to until the day of judgment. That's what we're being told here. And we already quoted in earlier parts of this series that even Paul and the apostles practiced all of these feast days from year to year. They were not done away with. Okay? They were not done away with. So continuing here, ideally, the Feast of Tabernacles is to be celebrated outdoors in tents. The tents represent our place of refuge away from the judgment of this world, as it was in the days of Noah.
They are a substitute for the brush booths that we lived in.
Right.
During the wandering in the wilderness.
Yes, yes. And so these other feasts, aside from Feast of Trumpets and a Day of Atonement, we can do these at home. However, Feast of Tabernacles must be done outside, okay? So you have to set up a tent or some sort of shelter outside. That's the proper way to observe it, okay? That's why we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles out in the campground, right? And the day is coming when there won't even be a campground, right, with running water, right? And hot showers. We're not going to have that. We're simply not going to have that. What? We're to flee from the cities where mystery Babylon will burn, just like Sodom and Gomorrah burned right after Lot fled. The book of Ezekiel tells us that Zog, Zionist occupation government, will be consumed by his own armies after the invasion of true Israel will devolve into confusion and chaos among his assembled troops. During this time, it is best that we flee to the mountains and stay out of harm's way. Okay? Mm-hmm. Who can make war against this beast? They control everything. The Jews control everything in this world. There's no way we're going to, how should I put this, assemble an army to defeat Zog. We don't have the money. We don't have the time. We don't have the resources. So what we're being told here is that just be patient, wait for the second coming, and Yahweh, with his son Yahshua and the angels, are going to destroy our enemies for us. Okay? Our part at this point in time is to keep awakening the flock to the reality of these coming judgments, which the Judeo churches are not doing. They have abrogated their responsibility to be the warner, the warning from the rooftops. You know, we're shouting it from the rooftops, like Ezekiel shouted it from the roof. When the enemy is coming, the sentinel was on the top of the tower, and he would sound the alarm if there's an enemy invasion coming. Well, unfortunately, the churches are part of the enemy, and they're already here, okay? So that's why we have to get out of the cities and live out in the country while all this transpires.
Well, another reason for this is the cities are a concentrated area with lots of the enemy in the cities.
Oh, man, yeah.
When you get out, if you look at the landmass of any of the country, there's a lot more country than there is city. And they don't have the manpower to go after small groups of Israelites out in the country. Anarchy will be the order of the day, and they will be so busy covering their own butt that they won't have time to mess with us. Okay? A lot of it. Yeah, there will be some, but we're going to have to stay out of the cities because they will be death traps.
That's right.
And they are going to be trying to save themselves. The looting, the violence, everybody that has a grudge against anybody, when they see that there is no law, no arrests are being made, the police are hiding, because they are so tremendously outnumbered. And when they really go off on them, that's when they're going to go hunting for their enemies. And they fight among themselves. Groups of blacks will be fighting other blacks, and whites will be fighting other whites, and the Mexicans will be fighting the blacks and the whites, and everybody's going to be fighting back and forth. There will be fractions within each ethnic and racial group.
That's right.
It's going to be anarchy. People don't have never been in the midst of anarchy. And these libtards that are touchy-feely kumbaya, they're going to go, oh, peace, brothers, peace.
Right.
Give me that diamond ring.
Yeah, right.
Pow!
We be hungry. Give us your food. Right?
Yeah, and whatever they will be attacking. They will kill each other over a pack of crackers. Know what happens when a big storm comes in? You're going to have a big snowstorm. If anybody lives in an area with big snowstorms.
Oh, man, yeah.
The grocery stores are empty within 12 hours.
That's right.
I mean empty.
Right.
The shelves are bare except for, like, medical supplies.
Yeah. When we had the big blizzard of 67, it just shut down the city of Chicago. And the natives were getting restless, so restless that Mayor Daley imported snow plows from the states of Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, just to clear the streets so that the store shelves could be filled back up.
Well,
that's how serious it was.
When anarchy hits during the tribulation, there won't be any trucks coming in. There will be no resupply.
There won't be any gas.
That's what I'm telling everybody now, to get your stuff now, because you're not going to have it available later. You will not be able to resupply. You better have at least a year's worth of medical supplies, water purification. Download the show from yesterday. It didn't play on Thursday. I'm going to put it in all the chat rooms, put the file so you can listen to it. And it will tell you what's coming, and it's ugly.
Yes.
It's ugly. You're going to have to discipline your kids to be quiet. And it may make a bunch of people angry if the kid is noisy and crying, I wanna. You're going to have to smack that kid.
I want an ice cream.
You may have to put duct tape over that child's mouth.
That's right.
Because that noise will get you killed. You need to be in full stealth mode. It's going to have to be hard discipline. And if you have raised a bunch of whiny brats, you're going to have to take a switch, and you're going to have to discipline them. And it may be unpleasant for you. You may have to put some stripes on their little bums.
Right.
Because a whiny, noisy, screeching child will draw the enemy right to your camp, and all of you will be shot, including the child.
Mm-hmm.
If you think they won't kill children, you are crazy.
Unless you can shoot back. Then they'll have a problem
doing
that,
but
right?
Then they will overwhelm you, and they'll draw the drones in.
Well, that's assuming the drones work.
You know, if you have to spank that child and put welts on them, it's better than that child being shot by the enemy, and they will kill your children.
Right.
This is a genocidal war, people.
Right. Okay.
This is a genocide against our people.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Now, the likelihood of them seeking you out in the country, the deeper you are in the country, the more safe you will be, okay?
Correct.
Because they're going to clean out the cities first. You know, they're allowing Black Lives Matter and Antifa to run riot in the daytime.
And they're allowing them to arm up.
Yes, that's right. But they're going to be worthless. Antifa and Black Lives Matter are absolutely worthless out in the country. They don't know from country. Right.
Well, they'll be worthless in the city because they're just mobs.
Right.
And
just
Antifa
mobs.
Will break apart because they've got the left-wing libtards and the Black Lives Matter who hate Whitey anyway.
Right.
And a lot of them won't do anything because they're not getting paid.
Right. And they don't have any skills. They don't have any real jobs.
No, they're not combat soldiers.
No, they're
against
nothing.
Against unarmed white people, they'd be terrorists.
Yeah, exactly. So what happens when they face armed white people who are ready for bear, right?
They'll oh, yeah,
right. They're going to turn tail. They're going to turn tail and run. They won't be prepared to face an angry white man.
Gives you the opportunity to shoot them in the back so they don't come back.
There you go. There you go. All right.
When it hits the fan, people are going to have to follow guys like me, and I'm not going to be warm and fuzzy. There's nothing against these enemies.
As you normally
there
are.
There will be no mercy.
That's right.
Oh, please don't shoot me. I'll shut up. Bam!
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah, if a libtard comes along expecting mercy when they have given us none, I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry.
Now, okay. Go see your black brother. See how
yeah,
much
go,
they
yeah.
like you.
Get mercy from them.
Yeah,
see if
fried
that does you any...
or fricasseed
yeah,
or,
right. Or mercy soup. You know? Have some
there
mercy soup, right? Okay, one final.
Soup. Yeah,
there you go. There you go. One final note. The Feast of Tabernacles is also referred to as the Feast of Ingathering, meaning the harvest of Israelites who will qualify for the kingdom. For this reason, it is a feast of great rejoicing, despite the inconvenience of having to live outdoors. Of course, for an agrarian people, this was not much of an inconvenience. So in those days, okay, so you're on your farm, and you go a little, you gather together and throw up a tent. No big deal. You're used to living out in the land, okay? Plus, you've prepared by ingathering, you've got your grain, you've got your beef, whatever, or goat, lamb, whatever you have. You bring that, dried it, smoked it, and take it to the Feast of Tabernacles. You're ready. You're ready to live outdoors. But what about a city person? All right, if you're an Israelite living in a city, you need to start practicing living outdoors. All right.
That's right, and when it finally hits, you're going to have to listen to old duffers like me that are survivalists.
Right?
Because I want to keep you alive. If you can't come in and try, well, I was an accountant, and I know all about you don't know squat.
Right?
you
pushed
a
pencil all
you
your life.
You do it, you'll stay alive, but you're not going to put the rest of this group at
right.
risk. You
right.
either follow the rules or get out.
Yeah, and the day of fasting also means stop taking cocaine, stop smoking marijuana, stop drinking that hard-ass liquor, because you're not going to have it. So
right.
you
and we got less than a minute, brother.
Yeah, right. So be prepared. That's the message for today's show. Be prepared. That's what these feasts are all about, the fall feasts. So we have one or two more shows to do on this subject because these feasts are coming right up. Okay, so thanks for listening. Praise Yah, we passed the ammunition.
I will put my show up, the file, in both the chat rooms when
okay.
we're done.
Very good. All right, folks. Thanks for listening. See you next time.